Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast in collaboration with World Football Index, a unique mix of fandom and journalism. Footvey English is your one-stop shop for all things Venezuelan football in the English language, from the men's to the women's and the domestic leagues to the national teams. Today, I'm flying solo as your host, and if you don't already know, I am Jordan Florett, and I've got plenty of news for you, and depending on how things advance between recording this and when you're listening, you may well be hearing an exclusive. But before we get into that, I would like to say congratulations to Venezuela's under-20s and under-17s on their respective performances at the recent South American Championships. At the start of the year, the under-20s battled, sometimes lethargically, into the final stage where they finished a respectable fifth place and therefore narrowly missed out on qualifying for the under 20 World Cup later this year, which is now going to be hosted in Argentina. However, on an individual level, stellar tournaments were had by 18-year-old Mineros duo, centre-back Rafael Uzcategui and forward Brian Alcocer. Both were chosen in several teams of the tournament, with the latter securing an upcoming mid-year move to Boston River, a Uruguayan club, who themselves will deem the Sudamericano a success after Alcocer's teammate Kevin Kelsey was signed mid-tournament by Ukrainian giants Shakhtar Donetsk. And we'll be speaking about Kevin Kelsey and Shakhtar Donetsk later in this podcast episode. Some bedding in and time to adjust was expected of Kelsey. In 2022, he did, after all, only turn 18 in July and had just 16 starts and 5 goals to his name in Venezuela in the 2022 season. But he's made an instant impact in Eastern Europe. Recording now on Friday, at least this part of the podcast, he's actually scored today for Shakhtar Donetsk. He also scored on his debut in a Europa League penalty shootout, no less. And in that game, he'd assisted the goal that even took it to penalties. He's followed that up with 3 goals in his first 7 appearances, including 2 starts. But however, even more impressive was the performance of Venezuela's under-17s, who have qualified for the World Cup after qualifying from their group in the Sudamericano and then finishing 4th in the final stage, including a 1-1 draw in the final game to deny the hosts, Ecuador of Kendry Páez, going to Chelsea, current wonder kid of the world, to deny them winning the championship on home soil. And then, it's also worth pointing out, or maybe I will later in the episode, but I've alluded to it now, that in that tournament, Venezuela were unbeaten against all but Brazil and Argentina. Anyway, in part one of this episode, that's what I will be getting through. David Martinez, Junior Colina, Juan Arango Jr., and the numbers behind Venezuela's success at the under-17 Sudamericano. Four goals and 2 assists saw Venezuela's under-17 captain, David Martinez, in many people's team of the tournament, as La Vino Tinto qualified for the under-17 World Cup for the third time in the past 10 years. The third time in their history, but the third time in the past decade, no less. With 2-0 wins against Bolivia, Chile and Paraguay, draws with Paraguay and Peru and Ecuador, and defeats only to champions Brazil 2-1, and Argentina twice, 4-2 in the group stage, where they fought back from 2-0 down to 2-2, to be fair, and 2-1 in the final stage. In fact, it was only because Argentina beat Venezuela that meant Venezuela didn't finish third, as we had a better goal difference and scored 1 more goal, conceded the same, and an otherwise identical record to Argentina in the final stage. However, there was a less fine line between Argentina and Venezuela's teams, and that was the number of professional minutes at club level that their players have amassed. Whereas Argentina were the only nation in the final stage without a single player to have debuted at club level, Venezuela had the most at 5. And in fact, when it came to professional experience, Venezuela dominated the other 5 nations in the final stage. Not only did Venezuela have the most club debutants at 5, David Martinez, Juan Arango Jr., Junior Colina, Juberth Bermudez and Jose Correa, they had consequentially the most combined professional appearances at 50, the most minutes played at over 2,000, the most goals scored with 8 and the most assists made at 4. Second best were Paraguay, who Venezuela drew against in the opening stage and then beat in the final stage. and finished fifth. Their three players to have debuted at club level have amassed 20 games and 865 minutes, so less than half of Venezuela's combined total on both counts. On an individual level, the trailblazer, not just for Venezuela, but for the continent as a whole, is Monagas's David Martinez. Only recently turned 17, February, and already with a $6 million price tag on his head and rumours of clubs such as Borussia Dortmund interested. He alone has amassed 1,529 minutes of club football at the time of recording, 45% of the total amount of minutes players in the final stage have played for their clubs. So, of all the minutes, all the professional club minutes that players at the under 17 Sudamericano have amassed, David Martinez on his own individually accounts for 45% of those minutes. A total of 15 players have debuted at club level, with Paraguay's Rodrigo Villalba and Cesar Mino, who is only 15, joining Arango Jr. and Martinez in the top four. And a note on Arango Jr., he is playing for Girona's B team, but it's not a reserve league. It's actually in the Spanish tiered pyramid. They can get promoted, so on so forth. So, although the juvenile rule was scrapped in Liga Footvee at the start of the 2022 season, and for those who don't know, the rule stipulated that every team must have at least one teenager on the pitch at all times, the rule has left a lasting impression at most clubs, becoming a habit for many, but not all, head coaches. The CIES Football Observatory, football data and analysis experts, recently published the top 10 clubs globally for the highest percentage of minutes played by under 20 players in the past 5 years. Mineros and La Guaira were fourth and fifth respectively. In the company of teams such as Anderlecht, and for any Scandinavian listeners, sorry for butchering the name, and Nordjylland. Defensor of Uruguay, much more easier to pronounce, were the only other South American team in the top 10. And even more noteworthy on a player basis, CIES in the past week have published their world ranking of the 200 most promising youngsters and four Venezuelans featured. So in the top 200 most promising youngsters around the world, globally, four Venezuelans featured. Yerson Chacon ranked highest, coming in at 70th overall, and as the 10th most promising right winger in the world. And he was joined by David Martinez, of course, Tuti Andrade, who in late 2022 was named in the Guardian's next generation list of their six best young talents in the world. That list is put together by journalists around the globe. And Kevin Kelsey, as I said, we would mention him again, who has bagged 5 goals in his first 2 months with Shakhtar Donetsk, or 4 goals, sorry. So in total, 49 South Americans made the list of 200, so just under 25%, with Venezuela equaling Chile's 4 and bettering the 2 each of Ecuador and Bolivia, the 1 of Paraguay, and Enciso, who got his first goal for Brighton a week or two ago, and Peru's absence. Peru were the only South American nation, only comparable nation, not to have a player in CIES's top 200. So, it's a good time to be tracking Venezuela's young stars. As close followers of Liga Footvee or Footvee English will know, at the end of 2022, Instat prematurely ended their data coverage of the Venezuelan league as a result of their acquisition by Huddle, who also own Wyscout. And Wyscout also stopped their data and statistical coverage of Liga Footvee, leaving the visibility of the league from a scouting perspective at a 3-year low. It was a worrying time for clubs, scouts, agents, the season already 12 rounds in, but good news has either just been broken or about to break, depending on when you're listening and when the news is made public. This might be the first you hear of it. So, a drum roll please. Stats Perform, most known for Opta, will be Liga Footvee's official data partner for the next 3 years. It's excellent news for Venezuelan football. And the partnership is pretty comprehensive, giving the league broadcasters and the league staff access to their press, live in-game data, and clubs access to their scouting tools. It will aid the media, it will aid the marketing, it will aid player recruitment into and out of the league. It's fantastic for Venezuelan football. And as much as I loved Instat and everything they did for the league, I think somehow Venezuela's come out of this better off. I think they're now with, for me, the best of the best. If you somehow not heard of Opta, and I'm sure the majority of listeners will have, they are, in my opinion, the market leaders when it comes to football data and analysis, and how they've made it accessible and enjoyable to fans is wonderful, and should be how data is delivered to fans. Storytelling, narratives, insightful, explanatory without being alienating and too number heavy. It was founded in 1996, the same year as MLS, coincidentally, specifically to analyse English Premier League games. It provided the data for Sky Sports broadcasts and went on to become the official statistics provider for the Premier League itself. From there, it's boomed, providing real-time in-game data for leagues around the world and even other sports, and is well known for its various Twitter accounts such as Opta Joe, Opta Jose and Opta Franz. Coincidentally, we recently made a thread on Footvey English about one of its publicly accessible tools, Opta's Global Power Rankings. I came across it thanks to Ash Sibyl, the English head coach in Finland, who recently came to Venezuela for CPD, and we had on the podcast. It's a ranking and comparison tool which gives a rating to nearly 13,500 football teams around the world. It's updated weekly, and it can be used to compare a team from one league in one continent with another team in a different level league from a different continent entirely, and have a decent idea of how they compare. You can even merge leagues to see how the league compares and how teams would fit into other leagues. Using it with Venezuelan teams, for example, you can use the compare function, type in Caracas Football Club, hit enter, and it will show you the 20 teams currently most similarly ranked, the 10 immediately above and the 10 immediately below. That includes teams from the Lithuanian, Egyptian and Icelandic Premier Divisions, and also Motherwell from the Scottish Premiership. With league leaders, Academia Puerto Cabello, the tool rates them similarly to DC United of MLS, Al Ittihad and Göztepe of the Turkish League. It also shows you that they've dropped 32 places in the world rankings in the past 7 days. They lost in the league for the first time last weekend to Monagas. And are currently the only Venezuelan team in the top 1,000 in the world. Now, that might sound bad, that might sound low, but remember, this tool has 13,500 football teams in it. So if you're in the top 1,300, you are in the top 10% of clubs around the world. So it's not as bad as it sounds. The search tool allows us to overlap Liga Footvey with England's League One, for example, the third tier of the strongest football pyramid in the world. And you can see that all 15 Liga Footvey teams are ranked between the highest rated League One team, Ipswich, and the lowest, Forest Green. It shows us that Deportivo Táchira have a rating out of 100 of 68.2, and Barnsley have one of 68 exactly, so only a 0.2 of a difference, suggesting a game between the two of them this week would be a fairly even encounter. A tool like this can greatly help inform fans, scouts, players, recruiters and decision makers and provide valuable insight on leagues individuals may not be familiar with. If you take things purely from a footballing perspective, discounting things like mental health, language ability, education, on-ground support, we could ask, is it such a surprise that Kevin Kelsey has hit the ground running with Shakhtar Donetsk? All but three Liga Footvey teams are in the rating range of the Ukrainian league. So all but three Liga Footvey teams are ranked between the highest and the lowest rated team in the Ukrainian league. Of course, the top four teams are miles ahead of the Venezuelan league right now. And again, sorry for butchering any pronunciation. That's Shakhtar Donetsk, Zorya, Dinamo Kyiv and Dnipro. But Táchira are rated better than nine of Ukraine's 16 top flight teams. So to repeat, Deportivo Táchira, who drew with Caracas 1-1 at the weekend, who were the Venezuelan champions in 2021, are rated better than nine of Ukraine's 16 top flight teams. So just over half of the Ukrainian league. I find it exciting that Liga Footvey have partnered with such a respected and powerful data and analytics platform, and that there are publicly available tools people can use to inform themselves and gain insights. Again, it's an interesting time to be following Venezuelan football. In the last part of today's podcast, I'll be giving you a quick review of the Liga Footvee season so far, ahead of our upcoming mid-year review that Dominic and Kevin will join me for in a few weeks' time. The revelation on the pitch so far this season has undoubtedly been Academia Puerto Cabello league leaders. They raced into the lead at the top of the table with relative ease, breaking a 50-year record when they made the best starts of the season in Footvee's professional era with 8 straight victories, beating Portuguesa's 1973 record of 7. The momentum ran out with that victory, however, and they've won just one of their 4 league games since, drawing 2 and suffering their first and only defeat of the season so far when they lost 3-2 to Monagas in game week 11, a game week that stood out for the performance of 17-year-old Leandro Rodriguez, who came off the bench to score 2 goals in quick succession to inflict Puerto Cabello's first defeat. Academia Puerto Cabello see out the first half of their season with a home game against the only remaining unbeaten side in the league, Caracas Football Club, and an away day versus Zamora. Puerto Cabello's electric start saw them feature in every one of the first 10 official Team of the Weeks this season, represented a total of 20 times, with both Kaki Rivero and Williams Lugo chosen 3 times. That was the most times in the league at that point, since overtaken by Jonathan Justis with 4 selections in 12 weeks, 25% of the time for the Portuguese goalkeeper, whilst Noel San Vicente remains the most chosen head coach this season with 3 selections. Hot on his tail, however, is the managerial revelation of the season so far, Jesus Ortiz. He was appointed after Martin Brignani had failed to lead Portuguesa to a single win in their first 3 games of the season. Instead, with 2 losses, a draw, and not a single goal scored, Ortiz has propelled them from bottom of the table when he took over to a temporary high of 3rd and their current league position of 4th. His tenure started with a 1-1 draw away to Caracas, in which his goalkeeper, the aforementioned Jonathan Justis, saved a penalty with the last touch of the game. Whilst it was one of 7 draws in Caracas' 11 games to date, they are, as I said, the only remaining unbeaten team in the league, with 4 wins accompanying the joint league high of 7 draws. Justis, as I said, now the most selected in the Player of the Week so far this season. His 4 selections, correcting myself from earlier, his 4 selections in 12 weeks, equating to 1 in 3, 33% of the time he selected, not 25%, as I said just a moment ago. At the other end of the table, the bottom 5 teams have won a combined total of just 2 games in their respective past 5, both coming against fellow bottom 5 teams. The most worrying form is that of Manos Colmenares. They have won none of their last 5, scoring just 2 in that time, both courtesy of league standout left-back. Left-back, that is, Jesus Yendis. 3 losses and 2 1-1 draws leaves them 12th out of 15 and seemingly in freefall, since their foreign players all walked out, over a pay dispute 6 game weeks ago. Their last victory being a 2-1 win over Carabobo, the last time they had foreigners in their side. The mid-year window is going to be vitally important to their chances of survival. To end on a running theme of this podcast, the impressive young talent of Venezuelan football, we've cracked the numbers and have some findings for you. Teenagers have featured in 7 of the 12 Liga Footvee Team of the Weeks so far this season, with Yerson Chacon and Andre Vera leading the way with 2 selections each. Andres Romero has also been selected 2, but once either side of his 20th birthday. In total, 9 teenagers have been selected in Team of the Week so far this season, with the youngest being David Martinez of Monagas, who has featured many times in this podcast episode. And Monagas, as a club, also have the most teenagers to have been selected, with Leandro Rodriguez, also 17, and Andres Romero, then 19, taking their total to 3. Well, that's everything for today's episode of the Footvee English podcast. Thank you very much for listening. If you don't already, please subscribe to us on the podcast platform of your choice and give us a follow on Twitter. And if you enjoyed this episode, please give it a share on social media with either a like or a retweet. Until next time, goodbye.